to Total Wealth Academy's GetTotalWealth.com radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money and were able to lead more balanced lives using real estate. Now, your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where, as always, we're here together working to improve our financial IQ. Total Wealth Academy is an education and mentoring and coaching program for real estate investors. We take people who have never owned rental real estate before and people who join our group that already have 5,000 apartment units and just help them take it to the next level. The idea is based off Warren Buffett's concept from 40 plus years ago, where he brought up the point that it is foolish to rely on a single source of income and that you want to invest to build a second stream of income. And that's all we're doing is we're buying real estate of all types, mobile home parks, RV parks, apartment complexes, self-storage complexes, hotels, strip shopping centers, commercial buildings that throw off cash flow. And then we really live and survive off of the cash flow. We, of course, get the appreciation, the equity buildup, and all the other advantages of owning the real estate. But it's the cash flow that allows us to pay our bills and to live more balanced lives and keeps us from being solely dependent on a job for our income. Now, most of our students do maintain a job along with their second stream of income, but a lot don't. You know, a lot of them, they'll get to $10,000 or $15,000 a month income, passive income, and they will quit their jobs. But it's generally people who were unhappy at their jobs to begin with. A lot of people, as soon as they have enough passive income to quit their job and they don't need it anymore, the fun comes back. You know, there's a lot of you who remember when you first got your job, there was a lot of fun to it. There was a lot of joy to it. It was exciting. But over time, it became just a way to pay the bills. And when that occurs, you get kind of negged out. And all the joy and the shiny newness to the job wears off. But it comes back when you don't need the job anymore, if that makes sense. When you reach a point where you have enough passive income that you don't have to work a job anymore, a lot of people are realizing, you know, I do love my job. I love the people I work with. I've seen a lot of people quit their jobs and then go back into the same field after 3 or 6 months because they realized they really did enjoy it. And, you know, I know this is a hard pill to swallow, but retirement sucks. People are like, oh, I'm looking forward to retirement. That must mean your present life sucks. You must not like your job. And you must be unhappy working at what you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't really want to quit it. I retired once on my own at 30. 6 months later, went right back to work because I was bored. You know, you can only sip so many Mai Tais, you can only party so much, play golf, fish, whatever, before you start wondering what your purpose in life is and why you're really here. And so I went back to work. Then I was kind of forced into retirement for 2 years. Man, all I did those 2 years was prepare to go back to work. There's a joy. When you find your purpose in life, there's a joy to it. It's fun. People that I consult, They call me on Saturday evenings. They call me Sunday morning. They call me expecting consulting. I don't care. It's fun to me. It's a blast. And then don't say, well, you must be a workaholic. Absolutely not. I'm one lazy son of a gun. But when you're doing something that brings you joy and laughter and happiness, you don't care when you do it. I mean, if somebody needs me and I can help them, they're about to lose a deal or a deal's about to crash, and if I can help them save the deal, I don't care if it's Sunday afternoon. And just to make you aware, in the last 2 years, I've only gotten 3 Sunday phone calls. So it's not like it's every Sunday. But those Sundays that they did call were urgent. There was a short fuse on the deal. Something needed to be done right then. So keep that in mind. If you're sitting there going, retirement, 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 you're probably unhappy at your work. Otherwise, you wouldn't be looking forward to getting out of it. But if you're doing something you truly love, your real purpose in life, you're not going to be looking to get out of it, you know. And then the harshest point I can make is retirement is the last step before death. That's really your goal? Ooh, I can't wait till I'm so dang old I can retire. Yeah, not my goal. So today I've got a guest coming on who is an inspiration to me. I have not met him. I have not talked to him yet. But he spoke at an event that my wife attended, and she came back very excited after listening to him. So I went to his website and invited him to come on the show. And I didn't prep him. We're going to talk about risk today with this gentleman. And we'll do that right after the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Catastrophes happen in the U.S. and around the world on a regular basis, causing tremendous financial difficulty for those unprepared. However, some people are prepared. These are the people with a second stream of income. This month, we are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. For reservations, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. And today with me, I have a special guest, Frank McKinney, who, as I mentioned, I have not met yet. My wife actually recommended him, and then I went to his website, saw what he did. Perfect fit, in my opinion, because this is a very balanced individual. He's got, if you go to his website, it's not just his incredible homes he builds. It's also his Caring House project, where he goes to Haiti and has gone to Haiti for 20 years as part of his charity and giving back. He's got multiple books out. Please, if you would, let's welcome Frank McKinney to the show. Frank, thank you so much for calling in. How are you today?
Hey, Steve. I'm great. I am in Denver today.
Are you? What takes you to Denver?
Well, as I met your wife, I think it was in Katy, Texas?
Yeah, at the Katy Christian Ministries.
Yes. So I'm on a book tour, 20 cities in 22 days, and Katy seems like it was last year, although it was just last week. And we did 4 cities in Texas, in that big state of Texas. We did Katy, we did Dallas, we did Springtown, and we did Amarillo. And so we're delivering the message of Aspire to the folks in Denver today and tomorrow.
Yeah, now I'm going to have a couple of questions for you about that book. I'm very curious about your Create Your Own Reality and Alter Your DNA. But let's save that for just a minute, because you build and have designed and $13 million homes, I think, is the average cost of one of your designs. Is that right?
Well, so what I do is I buy, design, build, and sell on speculation houses on the ocean in Palm Beach. So none of the houses I build have been custom homes. They're all about artistry. Like Van Gogh or Renoir, Monet would paint a painting and then hope you would buy it. They were rarely commissioned. They would paint their paintings and then sell them. And I'm a three-dimensional artist. So what you see on the website there and what we've sold for over the last 30 years are one-of-kind works of art on a sun-drenched canvas known as the Atlantic Ocean. And people live in them. They live in my art. But the risk is there. Of course, I don't know if I'm going to be eating at the Ritz-Carlton or out of a dumpster, because I haven't known when I'm going to get paid for the last 30 years. Literally, I don't know when my payday is coming until the house sells.
That's incredible. Yeah, I do want to hit you up on some ideas about risk today, but I'm looking at this home. I'm just curious, has one of them that comes up looks just like Justin Bieber's house? Did you happen to sell one to Justin Bieber?
I did not.
Boy, it looks just very similar. Very similar, so I thought maybe that was it. Tell us a little bit about Caring House Project. You're building self-sustaining little villages or cities, or what's going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, the name of your program, Total Wealth, right?
Yes.
Something along this line. So Total Wealth isn't just found in the bank. Total Wealth is found in the spirit. And, you know, for me, building these beautiful homes on speculation, you're doing that for 30 years. About 10 years ago, I was at the top. I'm sorry, about 20 years ago, I was what I thought was at the top of my profession. You know, I had sold one of the most expensive, actually the most expensive spec home in the history of Palm Beach County. I was in the front page of the Miami Herald, and I won't bore you with the whole story, but I had lost all heart in my soul. I really was a materialist, a consumerist. It was about how many cars were in my garage and, you know, clothes were in my closet and food was in my pantry. And I was depressed. I had it all, and I had a fake smile on my face on the cover of that Miami Herald. And on the inside page, on page two, was an article of a soup kitchen feeding a homeless man that looked just like me. Why was I feeling terrible with this fake smile? And why was this guy, you know, who looked exactly like me, if you look me up, you know, I can look homeless if I don't run a blow dryer through my hair. And, you know, I wanted the answer to that. And so I went out and I started serving meals to the homeless one night a week. And that led to us starting the Caring House Project Foundation, which way back then bought old crack houses. And instead of fixing them and selling them, we would rent them to elderly homeless people for $1 a month. And I realized that everybody listening to your program has a professional highest calling. We also have a spiritual highest calling. So to dumb it down to the point where, listen, I'm a 1.8 GPA out of high school individual, went to four high schools in 4 years. So I'm a simpleton. I'm a linear thinker. I provide housing to the world's most wealthy, who really don't even need another house. They're buying this out of desire, not need. Shouldn't I be providing housing to the world's most desperately poor and homeless? So domestically, we did that. We did that from 98 until 2002. And then 2002, we became a 501c3. We went to Haiti. And now we have built 29 self-sustaining villages in the last 19 years. When I say self-sustaining, Steve, I'm not a fan of the welfare mentality. The welfare system is fine. The welfare mentality is toxic. So yes, we create villages that are based upon self-sufficiency, meaning when we're done building the infrastructure of the housing, the food, the renewable food, clean drinking water, a community center, a school, church, a clinic, and some form of free enterprise, we don't come back. We're on to the next village, and we're 29 for 29. These villages are still thriving some 20 years later for the first one and the most recent one I'm building right now. So,
incredible.
You know, I get to be... Go ahead.
I just said that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I get to be a modern-day Robin Hood. You know, in my book, I talk about what legacy do you aspire to leave behind. My book is titled Aspire, How to Create Your Own Reality and Alter Your DNA. And I ask, there's only one chapter out of 25 that's posed in the form of a question. What legacy do you aspire to leave behind? And one of the ways to answer that question is, who do you aspire to emulate? In other words, who do you look up to? It'll help you answer the question, what legacy do you aspire to leave behind? And I aspired to be Robin Hood when I was a kid. I mean, it's a fictional character, but I get to be a modern-day Robin Hood. I get to sell to the rich. Actually, some people think I steal from them because I sell for upwards of $3,000 a square foot. I take a lot of that money and our donors' money, and we build these self-sustaining villages in Haiti. So it's just a beautiful dovetailing of my professional highest calling with my spiritual highest calling.
I love it, Frank. That is amazing. And I love the self-sustaining part. That, to me, is pure genius, because many charities have to constantly be raising more money for the same project, and it just goes on forever, and the people never really get out of that situation. You're making these families in a situation, putting these families in a situation where they can take care of themselves. That's just incredible to me.
Let me jump off on one word you said there, and I want everybody to focus in on this. Charity, you used the word charity. Charity exacerbates poverty. Charity does nothing to solve the problem of poverty. There is a time and a place for charity. I will give you that. For example, after the earthquake, you know, we were over there digging people out of the rubble in Haiti. That is a charitable effort. That's not self-sustaining. That's charitable. But very quickly, we went right back to our self-sustaining model, because I call myself a philanthrocapitalist. I take the best of philanthropy, the best of capitalism. I marry the two, and we solve the problem of poverty. Charity just makes it worse, or at best perpetuates the problem of poverty. So when you're thinking about solving that problem, either domestically or like we are over there in Haiti, philanthrocapitalism, taking the best of philanthropy, getting rid of the worst, and the worst is entitlement mentality, is welfare mentality, is somebody counting on you, like you said, just constantly coming back to the well. We get rid of that part of philanthropy and dovetail it with, or marry it with, capitalism, and man, we're 29 for 29. Those villages are thriving. We even had the Clinton Foundation call us to find out how we do it. You know, and I can build a whole village, Steve, for $300,000. When I say a whole village, I'm talking 50 houses, plus a community center, a church, a school, a clinic, renewable food, clean drinking water, and some form of free enterprise, like a fishing cooperative or a nursery or a animal husbandry, for $300,000, which is the average cost of a home from where I live, which is Palm Beach County, Florida.
Yeah, that is just phenomenal. And that is the best explanation I've ever heard for the difference between charity and really helping people. Wow. Now, is that part of that is in your book, or is it in the other book, one of the other books?
No, it's all about, so all of my books, I've written 7 books in 6 different genres. This is the first time I've written a mindset book, Aspire, okay. How to Create Your Own Reality and Alter Your DNA. So if somebody's listening to your program today and they say, that sounds interesting, I mean, I really want to check that book out. They buy one. I make no money from the sale of my books. One book provides 200 meals in one of our orphanages to one of the kids who was eating mud flavored with bouillon and lemon juice on the streets of Haiti. So you'd think you can't make a difference. I mean, one $29 book buys 200 meals in Haiti. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this Aspire book tour. And Steve, a typical book tour, well, first of all, typical today is authors aren't even on the road. They're doing all their tours by Zoom. I bucked that trend. I got in the vehicle with a driver, and we will put in over 7,000 miles, stopping at 20 different homeless shelters, soup kitchens, food pantries, juvenile detention centers, abused women facilities, veterans facilities, and treatment facilities, recovery facilities, delivering the message found in Aspire to those who really need to hear it. Of course, I'm doing a lot of radio and TV and bookstores, but a majority of our stops, like in Texas, 4 cities we stopped in to deliver the message of Aspire. And that's, you know, that's how I met your wife at the stop at Katie. Like, what is an author doing at a food pantry? Well, your wife found out, and that's why we're talking today.
Yeah. Okay, we got to go to break. When we come back, I want you to explain that Alter Your DNA. I'm really interested in that. Okay, this is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, along with my special guest, Frank McKinney. We'll talk more after the break. Thanks for listening.
Do you dream of a better life for you and your family? Do you want more time with the family? Would you like to be less dependent on a job for your income? Would you like to travel more? The solution is simple. Build a second stream of income. We can show you how. we are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. To reserve a seat, visit gettotalwealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's gettotalwealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the gettotalwealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. On the line with me today is Frank McKinney, and you can find him at frank-mckinney.com. frank-mckinney.com. Now, I highly recommend that you go to this website and just spend 30 seconds to a minute there, because I know you'll end up staying longer once you see what he has done and is doing. McKinney is M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, frank-mckinney.com. So we're talking now about his book, Aspire, and the title or subtitle really has me intrigued. How to create your own reality and alter your DNA. Can you give us some insight into what we'll get when we read this book?
Sure. So for your listeners, if you've gone to the website, which is, by the way, PC Magazine is called Disney on a Desktop, because there's a lot to see there.
Yeah.
You'll pull up the cover of the book. It's a beautiful cover. The title of the book is Aspire, How to Create Your Own Reality and Alter Your DNA. So, Steve, I'm going to break down the title and the subtitle. Motivation washes off and goes down the drain with the soap at night. As a species, we were not and cannot stay motivated, hence the reason that there's a multi-billion-dollar industry out there built around trying to keep you motivated, because it doesn't last. Like the soap, it washes off and goes down the drain with the soap, soap at night. Inspiration. Okay, so let's say I inspired you today. First of all, if I inspired you, I failed you, because in 2 weeks, like a bad sunburn, inspiration will wear off. Motivation, down the drain with the soap. Inspiration, maybe 2 weeks later, it's gone. I have found, I'm not dead yet, but still the postmortem on my life and the lives of others I look up to, I have found that aspiration is the key to creating your own reality and altering your DNA. Aspiration is like it's like the hope diamond or the Fabergé egg. It's sacred. It's not a goal that you attain or not. It becomes part of who you are. And I've aspired to 5 things in my life, and if we have time, I can go over them. So quit beating yourself up over the fact that you can't stay motivated, because you're not meant to stay motivated. We're not wired to stay motivated. Quit beating yourself up over the fact you can't stay inspired. Seek out those aspirations that can be found in that question, what legacy do you aspire to leave behind? Dropping down to the subtitle, how to create your own reality and alter your DNA. Okay, so through aspiration, that happens. One of the things I've noticed over the last many years, if not decades, plural, is how we let outside forces create reality for us, either the way we were brought up, the way we stare at the three screens, phone screen, computer screen, TV screens, our realities have been created for us rather than us choosing to create our own reality. By way of example, Steve, I work from a treehouse. All 7 of my books in 6 different genres were written up in that treehouse. The beautiful houses that you see on my website created in that treehouse. So I found a place that allows me to be creative and in turn create my own reality, not allowing society to create it for me. The second part of the subtitle, and alter your DNA. So that there's a science behind altering your DNA. I'm not going to get into it. And by the way, I didn't know it existed until I was about halfway through this book. So this book is not built on science. I'm not going to bore you with the science of it. Although epigenetics is the science of altering your DNA. Look it up if you're into science. I'm into reality. There was a movie out not long ago that was a documentary on the life of Elton John. The movie was called Rocket Man. I'm not a big movie buff, but there was a line in that movie where his manager put his arms on Reginald Dwight's shoulders, his name before Elton John, and said, "You got to kill the person you were born to become the person you want to be." One more time. Kill the person you were born to become the person you want to be. Steve, I was in 4 high schools in 4 years, 7 stints in juvenile detention. I was born to be one of 2 things, a criminal, or a banker, because my grandfather and father were bankers. When I got on the plane with a $50 bill and a one-way plane ticket out of Indiana when I was 18, I killed the person I was born to become the person I wanted to be. In turn, I altered my DNA. I'm no longer that person I was born to be. I became what I wanted to be. And there's five sections, 25 chapters in my new book that when I write a book, Steve, the first thing I do is come up with the title, because I want every single word in every single chapter to deliver on the promise of the title. Aspire, how to create your own reality and alter your DNA. All five sections and 25 chapters will help you do just that.
And that is really interesting. You had all those challenges. You got on a plane. There had to have been some impetus. Did you just make a decision that your life was not going where you wanted it to go? How did you get on that plane and change?
Every so often, we have an opportunity to take out the metaphorical eraser of life, turn around to the chalkboard of life, and erase what was. You know, when you graduate from college, when you get married, when you get engaged, when you get a new job, there's very few opportunities to do it. And Steve, I realized that I was killing my mother, causing her to become prematurely gray. I'm the oldest of six. I'm an overachiever, and I have a bunch of siblings that are, you know, Notre Dame and Stanford educated that might have underachieved. And I had to take out that eraser at 18. I just walked out of juvenile detention for the last time, got a 1.8 GPA out of my last high school, and said, I have to make a change. And the change of venue was important. So I'm sure my parents thought I'd be home. You know, I mean, I slept underneath a pier the first night I was there. I didn't sleep under a bridge because it's too hard. It's on the concrete. I was smart enough to sleep on the sand under a pier. I had to wait until that first check cleared for my maintenance job on a golf course before I could even rent a place. Hence the reason I'm stopping a lot of these homeless shelters, because I know what it's like to sleep on the ground outside. And that decision to say, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired and taking out that eraser of life and turning around to the chalkboard of life was, you know, looking back, it was bold, but it was desperate. And slowly but surely, you know, one synapse, one chromosome at a time, I rewired my DNA to be the man that I am today.
Wow. That's incredible. So you decide to change your life. You wanted to get out of the city. Is that what I understand? Get away from that, the city you were in, into a new city. Where did you head?
Listen, corn-fed country boy from Carmel, Indiana, lands in Palm Beach, Florida. Lifestyle,
wow,
rich and
culture shock.
Smacked me right in the face. You know, for you young listeners, it'd be like MTV Cribs. I mean, it was just, I couldn't believe the lifestyle I saw there, and I wanted it, Steve, but how? No connections, no network, no education, no money, no friends. I started digging sand traps on a golf course as a maintenance worker, but I was around affluence. I was around people who could play golf all day. And then I was moved to the tennis courts as a maintenance worker. Same people playing golf in the morning, playing tennis in the afternoon. I wanted it. I'm young. I'm impressionable. I'm consumeristic. I'm materialistic. I'm 19, you know?
Yeah.
I became a tennis instructor. And I started teaching the wealthy how to hit a better forehand and a backhand. But I went to school on them for 2 years straight. I earned my PhD in entrepreneurship, my master's in real estate on the tennis court, asking the ultra wealthy, how'd you get here? And the answer I heard, more often than not, had some real estate anecdotal end to it. Oh, Frank, I was a successful trial lawyer, won a bunch of money in court and at the settlement table. With my first case I won, I invested in real estate. And if you hear a story like that once, it's entertaining. You know, it's kind of fascinating. But I heard it, Steve, over and over again, that the path to these people's riches wasn't necessarily their 9-to-5, because nobody's born a real estate investor. It was what they did with their discretionary income after paying taxes and bills, invested in real estate, that made them wealthy. So I said, great, thanks for the PhD, guys. I got off the tennis court in the late 80s. I started buying crack houses and fixing them up and flipping them. Before flip was even a word used outside of gymnastics, like nobody was doing it. And man, lo and behold, you know, 30 some years later, look at that. We've done 44 houses on spec on the ocean with an average selling price of about $14 million.
Okay, let's take a big leap from 19 to your first multi-million dollar home. So you flipped some, you started off with crack houses. I'm assuming you eventually started flipping middle income houses, then maybe some high income houses, or did you go straight from the little houses into those $1 million homes?
Yeah, this is where I wish we had more time together, because this is a really important point. I have all the time you need, by the way, but I know you have other guests.
Well, we have an hour today.
Okay. All right. So I'll shorten the answers a bit. I believe that you need to exercise your risk tolerance like a muscle. Your risk threshold needs to be exercised like a muscle on a regular basis, because I'm afraid every day of my life. I just don't let fear stop me. Big difference, because I've exercised my risk tolerance. I'm no different than anybody listening to this program. I'm still afraid of taking risks. I just don't let the fear stop me. We're going to get into that in a minute. But I became an expert at the craft of real estate, not the business, the craft of real estate. I, over a five-year span, Steve, I didn't do a house worth more than $100,000, not a single one.
Okay.
In Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, he says to be an expert at anything in life, you have to put in 10,000 hours.
Yes.
10,000 hours is 5 years full time. I didn't know this until a few years ago when I read his book. I became an expert at the craft of real estate. It didn't matter at the point where I became an expert how many zeros were after selling or the asking price on the buy side. So I went from a $100,000 house to the next price point was $2.2
million.
Because I believed, I was, hey, listen, I turned to my wife and we found a house on the ocean that looked like a crack house. It just happened to be on the ocean. You know, 2 weeks of uncollected newspapers and 2 months of uncut grass and broken windows and torn screens. It looked like a crack house. It just was on the beach. And they, you know what they're asking for? $750,000. The difference between that and the $75,000 I was paying for, you know, at the top end of one of my crack house flips was 10, Steve. The difference between $75,000 and $750,000 is 10. I was terrified, yet sold all my stuff, cars, clothes, and even my house. Moved into an efficiency that was so small I could flip the eggs in the shower, and we put it all on black.
Hold on. We got to go to break, Frank. Please, we'll continue after the break. This is incredible. This is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of losing money in every down market? Did you know that real estate makes money in both the up and down markets? In fact, we make more money in the down market. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Yes, we're hoping for a down market, and you should know why. To find out, attend our free 2-hour free sample class. To reserve a seat, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, along with my special guest, Frank McKinney. You can find his website, Frank-McKinney, McKinney.com. Frank-McKinney.com. Probably one of the most interesting guests I've ever had. I've been at this for 20 years. Favorite interview I've ever done. He's all about balance, which is what Total Wealth Academy is about. It's not just making money. You want family, you want fitness, you want relationships, you want your charity, or as he's described it, something even better than charity. All the parts of a balanced life, and he really seems to have it. We're talking about right now his book, Aspire, How to Create Your Own Reality and Alter Your DNA, which is a thing that I really wasn't aware of. I actually heard about it, but not from a credible source. So I didn't take it very seriously, Frank. But listening to you, I see what you're saying, because there was a point in my life where I guess I altered my DNA from being a worker bee for corporate America to becoming an entrepreneur. Is that sort of what you're talking about, that where I made that decision that I would never depend on a job for my income again? Is that kind of similar?
What you had at one point was this epiphanous moment that said, I have an otherworldly passion for my purpose to achieve something high and great. That's aspiration. that's altering your DNA. So there does come with it. It's not a flashbang kind of lightning strike epiphanous moment.
Right.
Yours built over time, and eventually you said, enough. I am going to, maybe I was born to be in corporate America, but it's not what I want. And that's the difference. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, express in my book, that you might have been born into a certain circumstance, and that's okay. It's not a death sentence or it's not a life sentence. It's an opportunity to take out of that eraser of life and turn around the chalkboard of life and alter that DNA. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier that it's not a pushback on it, but I want people to understand. And your compliment you paid is fantastic, because before I do any radio or any interview, I do a little Google research on the host, and your show speaks for itself. So to say I was one of your better interviews is a huge compliment, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
In that compliment, you mentioned the word balance. And in the book, I talk about how, again, as a being, as species, we weren't meant to stay in balance. People think that I'm live this balanced life. But balance to me is, if you take the image of a grandfather clock with the thing at the bottom, the pendulum swinging back and forth, that's life. So if I'm building a village in Haiti, for example, the pendulum swinging really far in one direction, you know, I'm monomaniacally focused on getting that village out of the ground, and then I'm training for my hobby, which is ultra marathoning, running 100-mile races at a time. The pendulum swings real far in the other direction, so my life's out of balance there. But it's all for this otherworldly passion for this purpose of mine. Then I start a real estate project, and the pendulum swings real far in one direction. I'm out of balance again. Then I write a book, and I set out on this crazy book tour. So if you picture your life as being a sequence, even as a woman, like a woman's pregnant with a child, her life is out of balance, but it's right, for this otherworldly purpose. So again, stop trying so hard to keep your life in balance. It's okay for that pendulum to swing real far when, Steve, you said, I'm done with corporate America. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to start a real estate company. And I know you sacrificed other parts of your life to do that. So at that point, your life was out of balance. That's okay. That's the only way we achieve these otherworldly, you know, passion for our purpose, is by being okay with being out of balance. Because if homeostasis was the objective, that grandfather clock pendulum would stop in the middle and not move. And we'd be dead.
Yeah.
There'd be no momentum. There'd be no energy. Flow with that swing of the pendulum of life between being out of balance, doing one thing that you love, back to being a little out of balance, doing something else. It's okay.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. That is really well put. I've never been able to explain it like that, and I hope you don't mind me using that in the future. But that is, I kind of bring up the point that if you're having trouble with your son, you better get unbalanced and go spend all the time with your son until that problem with your son gets solved. That is great.
Balance might be Sunday afternoon watching the Houston Texans on your couch. But, you know, right, you're just kind of in homeostasis. You're sitting still. You got your nachos in front of you. You've earned it. You deserve it. It's fun. But that's not how life goes. You know, like I think most people feel most alive when they're living their form of extreme. My extreme is different than yours, but I want to feel alive, and part of that is being okay with living my life out of balance.
Well, tell me this. Is Aspire, I assume it's available on Amazon?
Yes, Amazon.
Yes. Okay.
It just came out on Audible. Matter of fact, I narrated the whole book. It's a 12-hour and 5-minute narration. It took me months to get it right and all the recordings. That's doing extremely well. If you don't have time to read it, there's hardback, paperback, Kindle, and now Audible.
Yeah, Aspire. And again, you can find it at Amazon.com. And I'm going to listen to it. And the reason I read and listen to them is because I notice that the authors, and that's my favorite when the author actually reads it, they have inflection at certain points. And I'll think back, man, when I read that, that didn't strike me. But hearing him put that inflection, the author put the inflection right there, I go, oh my God, that was way more important than I thought it was. So people, I'm going to suggest you read it and listen.
Here's what I did in the Audible version, because I listen to books too, and the last thing I want to hear from an author is a bedtime story. And that's exactly what a lot of them are. They're just reading verbatim from the book, which puts me to sleep. I made this conversational, meaning as I'm going through the book, if you try to follow this line by line, you won't be able to, because I riff. I go off script, and I have a conversation with you, Steve, on a particular part of the book. Now, you know, of course, I'm reading almost every word, but if there's an opportunity to drive home a point, you won't find that in the printed version.
Yeah, that's phenomenal, because that when I listen to somebody read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and it was just boring, just like you described, it was just clinical. And then when I heard Stephen Covey read it, oh my God, I was like, this is life-changing. Same material. One was, like you said, put you to sleep. The other one was life-changing. Have you listened to Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins?
Absolutely. David Goggins and I have raced together at Badwater 3 times.
No kidding.
I know him very well.
No kidding. I love the fact that he did read his book in an almost podcast format. That was genius. So everybody, I highly recommend this book. I'm picking up the hardback, and I'm going to download it on my device to listen to it. It's Aspire, How to Create Your Own Reality and Alter Your DNA by Frank McKinney. We only have about 30 seconds left. Is there any message you'd like to share with these listeners?
You know, while we're on the topic of Aspire, if you got your pen and paper handy, folks, theaspirebook.com, which is inside frank-mckinney.com, but you won't have to look for it. At theaspirebook.com, there's a sample chapter that you can download and read for free. There's an Audible sample that's about 5 minutes long that you can listen to for free. There's reviews of the book. There's outtakes. There's actually a little summary there. You can see where I'm on. If you get this, you know, you're on the page today, you can see where I'm going to be on the tour. So if you know anybody in the cities ahead of us that wants to hear the message of Aspire, most of these homeless shelters and soup kitchens let people from the street in, just like Katie, you know, let people come listen to it. So, you know, I encourage people to realize and not be so hard on themselves when they can't stay motivated or inspired, and really latch on to a handful of things that drive your aspiration. You know, for me, it was, I wanted to be a best-selling author, but I had a 1.8 GPA. It took me a long time to get there, but that was one of my aspirations. I used to read the dictionary at night, Steve, just because I realized if you speak well and you write well, you'll be well-respected.
That is
dictionary
true.
In hand, swore off all unhealthy vices and temptations, and sat at home on Friday nights reading the dictionary. It helped me become a seven-time best-selling author in 6 genres. So, you know, I appreciate you, you know, plugging my book, and know that if you all out there buy a copy, either Audible or, you know, harder or softback, and you can get one from us, by the way, that I autograph and send to you. That's also an option. All the proceeds go to our Caring House Project Foundation. One book equals 200 meals.
Well, Frank, we're at the end of the show. I sure appreciate it. Let me tell everybody, Tony Robbins said this: it delivers on what it promises, encourages you to dare to create your own reality, to live a life of deep meaning and purpose. That's powerful. Thank you so much, Frank. You have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit GetTotalWealth.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.